are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
All right, let's get into our deep dive. We're talking about apologetics this morning. Apologetics is more than just a debate. It's discipleship with depth. In a world that values evidence and logic, Christianity doesn't shrink back. It steps forward with reasoned hope and historical truth. Faith doesn't fear investigation. It flourishes in it. And this is an interesting take. I want us to talk about this, and we're going to be covering all things apologetics as this week goes by with Elder Obed Ngando, who joins us on the line. My Elder, good morning and welcome to the Mid-Morning Empowerment.
Morning, Ruby. How are you doing today?
Doing very well. Thank you so much for joining us. Are you doing all right?
I'm good, thanks.
All right. I'm not sure if there's a problem with our line. Your voice sounds a little bit muffled. It's not very clear, but hopefully we'll be able to get into this conversation and hear each other well. Could you open for us with a word of prayer as we start?
Yes, I will pray. Our Father, God in heaven, we pray for this opportunity you've given us to study your word. As we look at subject matter that has to do with reason and faith, we pray that your grace will prevail. Loving Father, you enlighten us in ways that only heaven can, for the glory and honor of your name. This we ask and pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. All right. We have lost that connection. Let's try and connect with him once again, and hopefully the sound will be much better. All right. So we're talking about faith and reason. If the two are mutually exclusive, or do they go hand in hand? Are you back on the line, my elder?
Yes. Are you able to hear me now?
Much, much better. Thank you so much for that. All right. So you were talking about faith and reason, and why they're often seen to be mutually exclusive, like they can't go together.
Yes. So the first reasons why people would argue that faith is not does not resonate to reason is a misunderstanding of faith. Mm-hmm. In popular usage, faith is often portrayed as believing without evidence or even believing against evidence. If people define faith this way, it naturally seems opposed to reason, which is based on evidence, logic, and critical thinking. However, in many religious traditions, especially Christianity, faith traditionally means trust based on evidence or reasonable trust, not blind belief. Mm-hmm. That's number one. And then number two, there's a historical conflict between science and religion. Mm-hmm. Some major historic episodes like the Galileo affair have presented something inaccurately so, as science and reason clashing with religious faith. This narrative grew especially strong during the Enlightenment time and later with thinkers like Voltaire, who painted the church as anti-reason and anti-science. Not true. Then there's also the rise of rationalism and imperialism. Okay. During the Enlightenment period, that is the 17th to the 18th century, philosophers emphasized reason, empirical science, and skeptical of traditional authorities, including religious ones. And some thinkers concluded that only what can be tested by science or reason should be believed, making faith seem obsolete or irrational. Now, you see, that argument is also not correct because I'll argue, for example, as a believer, mm-hmm. that has anyone ever tested the brain? Has anyone ever seen the brain? But we science says we have a brain, mm-hmm. okay? And if we haven't tested it, we haven't seen it, we haven't heard it, then it simply means that we don't have a brain. But you see, by believing that we have a brain, that's faith, okay? And it may be scientifically correct, but it's also based on the issue of faith. There's also the cultural shift towards secularism. You know, this argument of saying only something that that is modern, only something that is factual is reasonable. And is It cannot be, you cannot evaluate it against the values or beliefs. That's also not true, because there's no norm, there's no society that doesn't have beliefs, okay? In every culture, some cultures, even non-religious cultures, will tell you that they don't steal. Does that mean that it's unreasonable not to steal? These are arguments that may be brought across to argue that faith is basically not collaborating with reason. But when you actually look at it, Christianity is a thinking man's religion.
I love that. It kind of makes me think of that quotation that the absence of evidence is not evidence of absence. So just because you cannot prove something does not mean that it doesn't exist. Just because you have not seen it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And now, how can Christian apologetics help believers to navigate intellectual doubts? In fact, I'd actually start with, are we allowed to navigate intellectual doubts? Is that a lack of faith if we have doubts?
No, it's not a lack of faith not to have doubt. You see, doubt is not really a lack of faith, okay? Doubt is principally an issue of experience, okay? If, for example, I have had an experience with you, and you've made an appointment, I'll come at 12 hours. You don't come at 12 hours. The next time you make an appointment with me, and then you tell me you come at 13 hours, I'll be thinking, really? I probably should come at 13:30. You see? So this is an issue of experience. But now, to answer your question, I started saying that Christianity is a thinking man's religion. It does not appeal to our emotions. It appeals to our intellect.
Okay.
The first argument that I would put across is, how many days does a week have? The week has 7 days, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. And the Bible says that the week was, and God created the heavens and the earth in what? In 6 days. Mm-hmm. And on the seventh, he rested.
Right.
Now, you and I know that we can explain, scientifically, we can explain a day. A day is a full rotation of the earth on its axis. Mm-hmm. Okay. We can explain a month. A month is based on the lunar cycle. Mm-hmm. We can explain a year. A year is based on the earth making a full orbit around the sun,
right,
which takes about 365.24 days. Mm-hmm. Okay. But can you explain the week? Is there any scientific explanation to a week? Mm-hmm. Napoleon Bonaparte tried to change it from 7 to 10 days. It was a disaster. So what we are saying is that when you actually look at what we find in the Bible, there are evidences that we can bring across for us to take away certain doubts that we have, that the Bible can be trusted, because it's there. God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and he rested on the what? On the seventh. The week is 7 days. And no one can argue, or no one can explain how the week comes scientifically. Mm-hmm. Then the other argument I would bring across is that when you get down to God leading the children of Israel out of Egypt, when he brings them into this space, then he introduces himself. He is saying, I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, mm-hmm. out of a house of bondage. He is not saying, worship me in abstraction. Okay. Right. He is introducing himself. You see, why you should worship me is because I took you out of a house of bondage, out of Egypt, and I have brought you here so that you can relate with me. So when it comes to issues of belief, when it comes to issues of trust, we trust and believe God because he has done for us that which he stated he's done for us. Mm. The third argument I'll bring across is, when you read the book of Daniel chapter 2, Daniel there is explaining to King Nebuchadnezzar how the kingdoms are going to flow. He talks about the head of God. He talks about the chest and the hands of silver. He talks about the belly and the thighs of bronze. He talks about the legs of iron. Mm-hmm. And these are kingdoms that came.
Yeah.
And history tells us that there was a kingdom of Babylon. There was a kingdom of the Medes and Persians.
Yep.
There was a kingdom of the Greeks. There was a kingdom of the Romans. And then he says that at the end of it, a stone is going to crash. So what we are saying is that we have seen this kingdom pass.
Yep.
That vision came 600 years before Christ was born. Can we trust the Bible? Yes, we can. And we can now also believe and trust that some of these things can take away some of the doubts we have, because we can see that there is evidence in the Bible that there's reality.
Beautiful. I love that. Yeah, I'm thinking about the attempt to change a week from 7 to 10 days. That is a wickedness in itself.
Yes. And you know what happened?
Yeah.
People started collapsing.
People started collapsing.
But you see, his argument was, there's no way we can have a week that is 7 days, because it's related to spiritualism. Mm. So according to him, he wanted a secular society.
Right.
And in 9 years, people started collapsing and they reverted back to 7 days.
Sure. That's very interesting. Now, what is the difference between knowing about God and having a reasoned belief in him? Sometimes we think the two things mean the same thing. What is the difference?
Now, Christianity is more than a head knowledge about God, okay? Much as it appeals to our intellect, it's beyond that. It is a relationship. God is our Father, and we are his children. It is an intimate relationship. He talks to us through his written word, and we talk to him through prayer. Just like any human relationship, the more one shares quality time with their relationship, the more the bond grows and the love that is shared between them. My son does not have to practice to talk to me.
Okay.
You see, he does not have to go out of his way to crack his head and figure out what I like and what I don't like. Why? Because we are related. The same thing happens between me and from my end. The relationship just flows. This should be the case in our relationship with God. The more we spend time with him through devotions, reading of the Bible, and prayer, the more we will grow closer to him, and we will correctly represent him here on earth. Now, that's a relationship.
Yep.
So the difference for me about knowing about someone, for example, I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
I haven't seen you.
Yeah.
I'm thinking to myself, this kind of voice, maybe she is tall, maybe she is, you know, you get it.
Yeah.
I just know something about you.
Yeah.
But when I enter into a relationship with you, I get to know you. I get to know your light. I get to know. So that's Christianity. For me, the difference is knowing about something is you can intellectually know so much. I can know about the America. I can know where Washington is, but I don't know Washington.
Mm-hmm.
But when we get to have a relationship with God, we know God. We are in a relationship with him. We've gone beyond knowing about him.
Yeah. That's beautiful. Beautiful. And then another thing that we see when we're talking about apologetics, oftentimes we see a lot of debating and these arguments where there must be a winner, there must be a loser, and it can get very ugly, even between brothers, between people of the same faith sometimes, because they differ on one point or another. How can apologetics be used rather to strengthen faith instead of just winning debates?
So my conviction is that one of the compelling reasons in favor of Christianity is that it's a changed life.
Okay.
We believe that God created perfect human beings.
Right.
And after the fall, he has invested his love through the death of his son to restore man to the original status.
Mm.
Therefore, when we live like Christ by God's grace, we augment the argument that Christianity is not a fable, but reality.
Mm.
When you read Isaiah 1 verse 18, God says, come now, let us reason together. He is entering into a relationship where he is not forcing us. He is not compelling us. He is asking us to reason with him. Saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they may be red as crimson, they shall be as wool, Okay. Mm-hmm. Then Romans 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Mm-hmm. So when we have this change in us as Christians, then we can now give evidence to the rest of other religions and within Christianity that truly it's worth it to believe in God because it changes lives.
Amen. Amen. And then for you personally, my elder, what would you say are some common arguments against Christianity that maybe have personally challenged you? What would some of those be?
Maybe as I may not really have challenges in terms of Christian belief.
Okay.
But I know that people grapple on a number of issues. One of those issues people grapple on is probably the issue of the state of the dead. Okay. Most of us in our societies, in our backgrounds, we have this belief that if I die or someone dies who I love, because we cannot accept death, you know, when, no matter how much we have experienced it, none of us would say, me, I'm good with death,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
Most of us will always say that, okay, you know, my beloved, the ones who has died is now in heaven, in paradise, is watching over us,
yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
To soothe us, to give us a comfort, to make us feel like he has really not died, okay?
Mm-hmm.
In other traditions, they would say that this person has moved from this state to another state, okay? If he was a good person, he has become a king. If he was not a good person, he is going to reincarnate into a frog or something,
yeah.
And then there again transition into a human being. Now, when you look at these beliefs and these challenges from a reasonable point of view or from logic point of view, they make sense.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
But we as Christians, we go back to the Garden of Eden. You know, when the serpent is talking to the woman, he says, you surely not what? Not die.
Mm.
But God had said, when you eat of this fruit, you surely die.
Mm.
So that lie is perpetrated in different formats. And we will get to a point where others will believe that, well, this person has gone to purgatory, has moved to some place, and from there they'll go to another place. But the truth of the matter is that when we die, we are in an unconscious state. And this is why the Bible says in Thessalonians that when he shall appear, all right, and when he shall, the trump shall sound, the dead in Christ shall what? Shall rise first.
Mm.
So if you are resurrected, why would you be rise first, you know? Because we know we are in that unconscious state until he comes the second time.
Mm.
So these beliefs are kind of related. And when you manipulate the other, okay, you also cause damage to the other. So some of these beliefs, yes, we may give logic to them, but it requires beyond logic. It requires seeing beyond reason. It requires have the eyes of faith to understand and believe that he who came down in the being of Christ and was crucified and stayed in the grave on Friday, stayed in the grave Saturday, rested on the Sabbath, and resurrected on a Sunday morning, he is capable of resurrecting us when we give ourselves to him in holistic, knowing that when we die, that's not the end. One day we shall be resurrected with him.
Amen. Amen. Beautiful. I think we can leave it there for today. Thank you so much, my elder, for coming through and for giving us this beautiful introduction to the subject. I look forward to getting deeper into the subject of apologetics and how our faith can be strengthened, how we can get deeper in our knowledge and understanding of who God is, so that we're not just knowing about him, but we can actually have a personal, impactful relationship with him. Someone just shared on our WhatsApp line here that James 2 verse 19 speaks to how even the demons know God, but to no impact. knowledge, our knowledge as believers is to surpass that. So beautiful one there. Thank you so much for coming through. Let's connect again tomorrow, same time and same place.
Thank you very much, Monkey. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.